Amen. Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I just praise you, Father, that tonight's going to be a special night. And Lord, I thank you for bringing everybody in here ready and waiting and willing to partake of the communion service tonight, Father. And I praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that going to be healings tonight, deliverances, whatever. And most of all, Lord, we just want to please you. And Father, I just ask that you anoint us all to speak the words that you'd have us to speak. And Lord, we ask that you receive our prayers. I know that you do. And I know that we have an open heaven. And I praise you, Father, for all the work you're going to do tonight in us. I'm looking for miracles, Lord. Healing miracles, deliverance miracles, situation miracles, whatever. Whatever the prayers have been of the saints, Lord, I know they're going to be answered. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for each and every one of us, Lord. Lead us, guide us tonight into the things that you'd have us to do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Anybody got a prayer request? Oh man, this is going to be a quick one. Well, hey, Geneva. Carol, go ahead, girl.
Yes, I would. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
It's working. Okay, good. I see waves, so you can hear me. God bless you all. I do have two prayer requests. One is for my my neighbor, her son, who is about to get a job, and it is a result of prayer. This is a family, the Chinese family, that aren't believers yet. However, the mother, my neighbor, just told me that to get this job, and I didn't realize this is happening now in Quebec, he has to have the vaccination, even though he's working at home. So I am sick in my stomach hearing this, and it makes me mad, really mad. So I guess the prayer is he does need the job, because apparently any agency to get a job right now demands that you have your two shots to get a job. I'm like, what? This is ridiculous. So it feels very communistic and ridiculous. I have no idea how to pray without being really angry. So I thought I'd lift that up. And the second one is, my foot is broken and it's hurting. So I hope communion gets my foot A-okay, because I have been nauseous and I've been taking anti-inflammatories, but I'm still praising the Lord, okay? And I guess that's three things, okay? Here comes number three. I really felt the prayers of you guys yesterday. When I was with that, my lady friend, the Muslim lady, it was amazing, the ministry. I really felt the Holy Spirit was all over me, and I actually was a little crazy, honestly, but, you know, crazy for Jesus. And she loved it. She needed that, apparently, and likes quirky people. So I was like, okay, Lord, you could use me any way you want. So at the end of the ministry, I really felt compelled. There were many beautiful moments, and we'll do this another night because tonight is something different we're doing. But I do want to say at the very end, I said, so what did you retain from this whole ministry tonight? And I was just expecting that she would be, and I felt in my spirit is that she would know to call on the name of Jesus in need, because she's still contemplating, right? And she said, well, she says, what I get from all of this is that I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I just started jumping up, which is probably why my foot hurts, because I stomped on the enemy many times with my boot. Okay, my broken foot is on a boot. So I stomped and stomped and stomped and danced. I was doing all kinds of ridiculously wonderful, beautiful things that the Lord wanted me to do. And she was, I could see the gray of death on her just kept shifting off, and she was in pink, beautiful light, death light, death light. And I just kept going after the enemy and kicking him out. And she is going to meet with us again next Sunday. So we're going to continue the ministry of healing and talking to her about Jesus. Amen. So I don't know what I'm saying, but that's it. That's praise and thank you and hallelujah and communion. I really want my foot healed so I can kick some more, you know, enemy stuff in Jesus' name. And the COVID vaccine ridiculousness.
Let me tell you a little testimony, what we've done here. We had a guy call us, get in touch with us from Taiwan. He had married, he was American, but he married a girl from Taiwan. And the government did the same thing there. They had a mandate that you could not work unless you got the vax. And we prayed, and the prayer that, Lord, you change it, whatever it takes, we don't care, just change it, so that they could leave the country. They can't leave the country unless they get the vax, or they can't come in the country if they can't, you know, that kind of nonsense. The very next morning, they came out and lifted the mandate, completely got it out of there. So we're going to pray that they do that there, and God's going to answer our prayers, right?
Hallelujah.
Okay, well, in the name of Jesus, Father, we come against this aggression against God's people. And Lord, I don't know how you can do it, but I know that you can do it. You did it in Taiwan. I don't know why you can't do it in Canada. Well, I know you can. And I thank you, Father, for lifting this mandate off of God's people in this country of Canada, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that it is done, in Jesus' name. And they won't have to worry about it anymore. In the name of Jesus, we count it all as finished and done for your people there in Canada, in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? I believe it. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father, for doing it. You know, it's not us, it's God that's doing it. So all we have to do is just pray it, believe it, and it's done. Yeah, there you go. Get it globally. So I believe in Jesus' name that it is done. Okay, as far as your foot goes, we command the pain right now to leave Carol. Any kind of discomfort out of her foot to go right now in the name of Jesus. Every bit of it, foot be whole in the name of Jesus. We command it by the power and authority and the word of God. The word says, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, she's already been healed. And we believe it. Now, foot, line up with the word of God right now in the name of Jesus and be whole. And we praise you for it, Father. And Lord, we thank you for your grant repentance to this Muslim lady. I forget her name. Anyway, and I thank you, Father.
Shadia.
Okay. Lord, we lift up Shadia to you. And Lord, we thank you for doing this mighty good work here. And Lord, we ask that you open up her spiritual eyes to see and her spiritual ears to hear what Carol and her friend has to give them about you, Lord. And I ask that you direct and give Carol and her friend wisdom and the words to say. Direct their every word, Lord. And I thank you for doing it, Father. And I ask, Father, that you put a light on that would be evident in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to do this and bring this lady in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that's already done. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. We praise you, Father, that it's done in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. May I add just a prayer portion to that right now, because I forgot to say this, but I just want to pray this for my brothers and sisters right now, Lord. You gave me such a boldness to go right in. Like the first thing I asked her, I said, what do you know about Jesus? And then she told me about Jesus, the prophet, through Muhammad. And you gave me this fire inside that said, this is not the Jesus. We're talking about another Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. And I didn't even know what I was going to say. So Lord, whatever that amazing boldness you gave me, I would have never done that in the past, ever. I would have been too afraid. I pray this over this body of Christ, these beautiful people, my brothers and sisters, Lord, that when we take our communion tonight, that we would have this unwavering faith to be able to speak about Jesus into the lives of those that say, tell me about your Jesus. Thank you. That's it. That's the part I added to there.
Amen. We believe it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Whoever went for Geneva or Missy? All right, Missy, go ahead.
My sister just called me and told me that my mom was at the doctor's, and I'm guessing because she's been not been feeling good. She's had diarrhea from this medicine that they had given her that she stopped taking, and she's been short of breath. And so she, her shortness of breath apparently got worse while she was there. So they wanted her to go to the hospital. I don't know if she drove herself or they had an ambulance or whatever. So my dad's home by himself. Apparently my mom called my sister and she called me. So I like to pray for her. And if anybody else thinks of anything to pray, Lord, you're teaching me. You're reminding me through Merlin Carruthers to praise in everything. So we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for this, Lord. And we thank you because we know that you're going to turn this around for your glory and your honor and your praise, Lord. And we just forbid them to do anything to my mom that's going to hurt her. Forbid them to put her on a ventilator or remdesivir or whatever, any treatment that is going to do harm to her. We forbid it. We forbid all witchcraft and pharmakia upon my mom. Where I break every spoken curse upon her. She is not short of breath. Her lungs are full of the spirit of life, your spirit, your breath, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And anything else that's going on with her, we just command it to her to be healed. We forbid them to have any reason to keep my mom in the name of Jesus. She is not going to stay overnight, that when she gets there, she's going to be fine. And they are not going to have any reason to keep her. And Lord, I just ask you to put my dad's heart at peace and rest and just remind him to pray and to believe what he prays for mom. And we just command all worry and doubt and fear on mom. And we just, I just ask you to give her a bold faith, Lord, and to believe her prayers and to know, Lord, that she is in your hands, Lord, and that you are her healer, Lord. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord. I ask you to put Brian and Cindy's hearts at peace and just to pray and believe that mom's fine and that she'll be home tonight. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord. Anybody else have anything they want to think of to pray? Go for it.
Well, Lord, we just hook our faith up with Missy and we believe it is so that she's coming home tonight, today, or whenever it is she's got to go. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Father. She ain't going to spend the night there at all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
It is finished, as Judy said. Amen, as the Lord said.
Amen.
All right, that's done. Thank you, Father. All right, Geneva.
Hey, everybody. So a few weeks ago, I asked if you all would pray for my little puppy that we got that continues to have accidents all over the floor. I was just praying because I was kind of getting frustrated having to clean it up. Well, anyways, I guess the Lord put a spiritual diaper on her because she's been doing a lot better. She hasn't been using the bathroom as much. So, it, you know, every now and then, but she's starting to pick up on keywords and stuff, and she's looking at the other dog and paying attention to her. So I really feel like the Lord heard that prayer. And anyways, I know it's something simple, but sometimes, you know, simple things is like kind of big faith increasers. You know, you have so many little things and it gives you amount of faith to believe for the big things. So anyways, just thanking the Lord for that. But also wanted prayer because I had my midwife appointment today and I'm at 7 months, so baby's due in February. But I had to do my glucose test today, and I'm believing in Jesus' name that it was fine. It's like a routine thing you got to do. But I just, I guess, like, I felt fear and anxiety come over me today because she was feeling around for the baby, like, on top of my stomach and stuff. And she said, she's like, well, she's like, you know, she's not, she said she was in kind of a weird position. So, and I know that's normal. But it's just like you hear anything like that, and it's like the first thing that fear wants to do is jump on you. And, you know, I just kind of, I was just thinking, Lord, that, you know, she's going to be head down when she needs to be head down, and just thanking the Lord for a great delivery and birth. And anyways, I just want prayer that any fear and anxiety has to go in Jesus' name, because I feel like it's been trying to come on me here lately. And, you know, fear and anxiety, it's sin, you know, from what I've been reading the word and stuff like that, you know, because my trust is in the Lord, and that's all trust. So I don't have any room for fear and anxiety in the name of Jesus. And anyways, I, you know, I'm holding on to the scripture in Timothy that, you know, we'll be saved and went childbearing if you continue in faith and in holiness. And I'm believing that and claiming that for myself. And yeah, so Michael, if you just pray that, you know, fear or whatever gets away and that baby turns the direction she needs to turn in, I would greatly appreciate that.
Okay, we can do it. And everybody here gonna believe with me too. In the name of Jesus right now, I command that anxiety, fear to go from Geneva. You go, you ain't got no place there. You leave her right now in the name of Jesus. Now, baby Stats, we command you to line your head up the way you're supposed to go and get ready in Jesus' name. When the time comes, you be lined up and ready to go. This is going to be an easy birth, and she's not going to be in fear or anxiety from this moment on, because we have prayed the prayer of faith, and you're going to line up when it's time. In Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I believe it. Lord of God, it's going to happen to you. It's already happening. So don't get worried. It's going to happen. When the time comes, that baby goes line up, because he can't do nothing else but that. That angel sitting there telling him, boy, you better line yourself up. Get ready to go. So it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Yes, Julie.
I'd just like to add on to your prayer, Michael, if I may. Yes, Father, ma'am. I pray, Father, that you would give Geneva just your peace that passes all understanding, that she keeps her eyes on Jesus. And those who keep their hearts stayed on you, Lord, you keep them in perfect peace. So, Father, I also ask that you would give Geneva just the words, bring back to her remembrance, to fight the good fight of the faith and to cast down every vain thought and imagination the enemy tries to put on her of any kind of anxiety, fear, worry, would try to get through her, the armor of God that she wears, Lord, that she would remember just to cast it down and just say, no, we prayed, I believe, and it's done. And whatever you need to bring back to her remembrance, Lord, that she's an overcomer, and that this stuff isn't going to bother her anymore. She just has to cast it all down. We thank you, Lord, for giving her that bold faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Geneva. We all believe with her, too. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be an easy birth. Amen. Yes, go ahead, June. Glad to have y'all back.
Oh, thank you. Later on, we'll just give you an update with us as to what's going on, if we have time. I just wanted to mention the prayers that were given for Geneva are perfect. So I have nothing to add regarding that. This thought came to me that I know what helps me is when I listen to worship music. There might be specific songs that really register to your spirit, and that could probably break off when these thoughts that come to you and you don't want to accept, and you won't, will be cast down. I just thought maybe that would help.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. There's Gabe. What's up, Gabe? Hey, buddy. Look at that boy. That boy's getting bigger every day. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Amen. That boy is getting big. Look at him. Good gracious. He said, check me out. yeah, show him off. All right. I've got some good news and I've got some not so good news. All right, wait a minute. Let's see what Judy and Sue's got. Go ahead. What y'all got? Well, that's okay, Judy. It's just hard to understand what you're saying when you're muted.
Okay. I just wanted to give a praise report.
Okay, let's hear it, girl.
Okay. Sunday during the day, my foot just swelled up really big. I have no reason. I don't know why. But I went to the meeting Monday night, and and Michael David prayed over it, and I believe that it was healed in the name of Jesus. And Monday morning, it looked really good. Or Tuesday morning, it looked really good. And was going, actually started to go down Sunday night when I got home from the meeting. And tonight, woohoo, looks really great. The 2 feet look the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
Okay, I'm done with that.
Awesome. Okay, anyone else? Okay, here's the good news. We're going to do communion tonight. The not so really good news is David is really, really busy. We have been going from after the morning meeting until just a little bit ago, and he hadn't done anything for tomorrow's broadcast, and he's having to get that. So we're just going to have to wing this ourselves, okay? I believe we can do it. All right. Anybody got anything? Birth stories. Well, not tonight. Maybe later. I'd tell you mine, but you wouldn't like it. All right. Anybody else? Okay. In the Word, of course, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We can all turn there. We'll go through this. And we'll get this done. And I hope everybody is prayed up, confessed your sins, and you're ready to embark on this Passover meal. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Chuck. Good to see you, brother. There's a beast in the picture there, Carol. Oh, my, that's a cute little dog. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start out in verse 17. But in giving you this charge, I do not praise you because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also factions among you, that those who are approved may be made manifest among you. When therefore you assemble yourselves together, it is not possible to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes before others his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and put those to shame who do not have? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. We'll just stop right there for a minute. And I'm just going to give everybody a few minutes of quiet time to ask the Lord if there's anything, any darkness in you, to get ready for this Passover meal we're fixing to eat, okay? Father, I just ask and I pray, Father, that you listen to us, see our hearts, and show us any darkness that's in it, because we don't want to partake of the blood and the bread of Jesus with anything hindering us, Father, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your cleansing power of your Holy Spirit going through each and every one of us now. We praise you, Father. We've confessed our sins. We thank you, Father, for your cleansing power in us now, purifying our blood with yours. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for each and every one of us. I'm going to skip over right now to verse 27. I'm going to skip over the meal for right now and go to verse 27. Therefore, whosoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man test himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not discern the body. For this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep. But if we discerned ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brother, when you come together to eat, wait one for another. If any man is hungry, let him eat at home, but that you're coming together not be to judgment, and the rest I will set in order whensoever I come. So I believe that everybody has confessed your sins and is ready to partake. Hang on. George must be having trouble. Partake of the word. I mean, the bread. Hang on, let me get him. All right. I thought I sent it to everybody, but some of them may have not even checked. Anyway, we'll wait till George gets in here. George is coming in, hopefully. Hey, Will. Y'all see him in yet? Anyway, it has. It's been a real busy day today. Real busy. Anybody got anything you want to comment while we're waiting on George to get in?
Hallelujah.
Hey, Will.
All right.
Hey, Will.
What's happening, buddy?
Not much.
Yeah, where I am, this cellular connection is bad.
Is it?
Yeah. And it's funny because I'm in the middle right now of a big, where they have a bunch of stores and all that. And you figure, and I'm in Dallas, you figure I'd have good. Anyway, I was praying and praying, brother, here I am. I've got my stuff prepared for to break the bread, brother, and drink it up.
All right. All right. Good deal. Amen.
Amen.
Still waiting on George. Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
I was going to say, if we're going to consider what Paul's talking about here, drinking the blood in an unworthy manner.
All right, go ahead.
We want to think about one of the things that would probably put us in an unworthy situation is unforgiveness. Any kind of unforgiveness, because of most of our sins are forgiven. All of them are forgiven, actually, if we confess them and we forsake them. And even if we're having a problem with a sin in our life, and we're dealing with the Lord, and we're being honest with him about those things, he's working with us, you know, he's getting us through, purifying us. But the only thing that's going to hold back any kind of forgiveness on our part would make us unworthy would be unforgiveness for somebody else. So that would be the thing we would want to make sure we're not doing unworthily at all with the body of Christ. Because of with us here, we're not abusing the blood and the body. That was represented there in Corinthians, because back then they were all together, and there were those that were drinking more and eating more than they needed to. They were treating it like a festival more rather than a communion service. And so they were leaving others that were coming up short for any bread and wine. And Paul was really coming against them for doing that. And he had rightfully so. But now for us, the discernment of the body here would be to make sure we're not holding any unforgiveness for anybody, because that would be detrimental for us. And in the long run, we know that would affect, and I don't think anybody here is, but that would be the only thing we would definitely want to deal with in our lives. That's all I wanted to mention, possibly, that, you know, if we could think about anybody that's got under our skin and we just haven't let that go, you know, tell the Lord about it and just ask him to help us let it go and love that person and like we should. And even if we can't see him, if we can love him in our hearts, you know, just forgive him for everything, you know, that's all that matters, or her or whatever it is, or mom or dad or sister, brother, anything we can think of, you know.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Dave. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I had to be off of work for like 14 days. So I'm just hoping I can go back soon. And I haven't heard anything from my boss yet. So I'm just hoping I can go back soon.
Well, go back in Jesus' name. How's that?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what I did, Nick, one time just to show my grandsons that I could do it. I took a 5-gallon bucket one time and a squeegee and went uptown to hit me a little what do you call them? Bunch of businesses together in one little area, and made about $200 in just a little while washing windows. I told them, I said, you can do anything. If you want to make some money, get out there and look for it. It'll be there. And I've done that many times just to show my kids and my grandkids, you know, that if you're hungry enough and you want to make some money, go out there and look for it. And if you see your neighbor's yard over there, it needs to be raked or anything, you know, hey, I'll do that. You know, I've done that too. But I'm just saying, I know you got a job. You want a few days off, and that's all right.
Yeah.
Lord, we just thank you for opening his job back up for him, in Jesus' name. When's your 14 days up?
It's on Friday, the 10th.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Greg says, so if I need a private jet, what do I do? You'll have to go out to the airport and try to find you a job to do that. Yeah. What is Missy? What's all the sign language, Missy? Okay. All right.
I was just trying to say, cut Greg off. His jokes are bad. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I know. Let's see. I wonder what in the world has happened to George. Let me see if I can call him.
Hey, Michael, maybe each one of us can maybe call out something about who Jesus is to us so that we hear all of these beautiful things before we go for our communion.
All right, go for it.
Well, what he's done. So what kept coming to me is, I am redeemed by your love, Lord. That's mine.
Oh, no, what was that that we all have a little tune? Did I hear that right?
She was asking about Jesus, what we know about him personally. And the way we can relate him to others.
I'll share something. Go ahead.
He is my mighty deliverer, my fortress, and my strong tower.
Amen. Good testimony.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen, brother.
I like to share mine since Carol's saying, I would have to sing a little song too. I've been singing this all day. It's a scripture. Lord, give me a tune. I'm just gonna sing just like a little bit like she did. Okay. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate for those who fear him. That's it. That's the first part. So that's what he is. Father, tender and compassionate father.
Okay.
To those who fear him.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Amen.
Who do you trust in, Beth? Thank you, brother.
The Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. But he's the one who saved me out of hell. Not only that, he put me right into heaven. I'm telling you. Because I was in hell. I've been living hell all my life until the Lord came in. Just made peace in my heart. Gave me peace and showed me all kinds of things. What he could do. That's what he did for me. He put love in my heart too for my fellow brothers and sisters that I didn't have before. All right, Missy, go ahead.
I'd like to share a little song that the Lord gave me, oh my gosh, years ago. It might have been 2012. I just woke up one morning and this tune was going in my head over and over and over. And in the words, you know, and then I don't know how long it was after that, maybe a week, the Lord impressed me to sit down. He wanted to give me some more. So this is what he gave me. And it's very appropriate for the fact that I'm reading Merlin Carruthers' Bringing Heaven into Hell about, you know, it's one of his praise books. So this is what he gave me. Great, great, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness to me. Great, great, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness to me. As I rise in the morning, praises are on my lips to my God who's given me promises. Forever and ever I'll praise him. Great, great, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness to me. Great, great, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness to me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Hey, that's good. That's good, Missy. Thank you. Go ahead, Ozzy.
Hey, everybody. You said, Michael, that he was your deliverer from hell, and you know, or delivered you out from hell. That's a, kind of terrible. Anyways, but you get what I'm saying. So I want to, if I can add to that, what Jesus is to me too, and it was through a dream I had. It's really short. And I had this like a year ago. I just got done reading God's Vaccine, and I was really a hypochondriac. Like, I was scared of everything. For years, I thought I was going to die. You know, I really did. I thought I had, you know, disease all the time. I read that book and I was instantly delivered. But I want to tell you, after I read that book, I had a dream. I was in hell and I was shackled up with all kinds of people around me, right? It's going to sound really terrible, but it's really awesome. And I was shackled up and I couldn't see because it was all kind of brown and dark and everything was sulfur like mountains, and it was real steep. And we were on a ledge, about 100 of us shackled on legs and arms. And everybody was indisposed and groaning for terror. And like I say, it was real dark. And we see to the right of me the speck of light, and it comes over like so. It starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's Jesus. And it goes on past me. And I remember, even though I was shackled, I stuck my hands out as far as I possibly could and reached out and I yelled, Jesus, top of my lungs. And the light stopped and it come back and it was Jesus. And he looked at me and he grabbed me and he pulled me out and he pulled me up, and that was it. That was my dream. So what I want to say is, you know, he's my deliverer. And, you know, I'm just really thankful that he would show me that.
Amen. That's good. Go ahead, Dave.
I would say, for me, I mean, I don't know about most of you, but I kind of grew up a little bit of a Christian family. I mean, at least I had early church experiences, but I wouldn't say they were really deep, but I had exposure like most of us, but I really didn't have a good concept of the Lord. And then, you know, over time in your life, you experience things, and my folks got divorced, and that weighed heavily on me. And my dad wasn't a real loving person. He didn't know how. He was a business person. And so there was a few experiences in my life that weren't good because of that. And then my mom had multiple men in her life that didn't work out. So she had a very hard life as far as finding companionship and being disappointed. And so she drank a little bit and smoked and was always kind of in a depressed state. So for me growing up, I didn't really have a good concept of what life was like or how what happiness was. And so I had a pretty confused life, and that really had me in a lot of chaos too when I was growing up, and even all the way to my 30s. So I remember drinking a lot, not really being able to have a relationship with women, but having a lot of women in my life, but never being able to have any relationships because I didn't really know how. And it was, I picked up a spirit of rejection and condemnation. And I was an angry person, and I was a drinker, heavy drinker, and just tried to do good, work hard, always had a hard work ethic. But, you know, thinking that was my salvation is working hard and being good at what I did and just driving hard. And at the same time, as hard as I drive at work, I drive myself as hard as I could in drinking and running around and carousing. I did all that stuff, hard stuff, because that was just the way I drove my life. And I was get to the point where my brother said once, I've seen people like you, I had friends like you, and they either settle down and get married, or I read about them in the obituary. And that kind of impressed me a little bit. That, So even eventually I got married, because I got married to a woman that was a Christian, and I thought, well, this will help straighten my life out, but it didn't, because I was full of demons still and rejection. And then when I finally started coming to UBM and getting more of the word, because I was really searching, I'd been through a few churches trying to find the Lord, but all I really was doing was find dead man's religion, you know, and that wasn't helping me. It wasn't getting rid of the demons in me. But when I found who the Lord was, and I was able to get delivered a lot of my demons and cast off the rejection. And once I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then I started to understand I really was forgiven. But it still took a long time, because Satan's good at coming at you, making you feel like you're not worthy, you're not forgiven. And you got to overcome a lot of things in your life still. It just because you get saved doesn't mean you've come through the whole salvation experience yet, because it's a process, you know, we're all walking that out. And so me, it was coming to that experience of knowing who I was in Christ, finding out who my real Savior is and how forgiving he is, and how he's not trying to make me work to a standard that I was trying to hold myself to, that I couldn't make, I couldn't do, that I needed to let my life go to him and realize that this is the only way I can have a true relationship with God, is realize he's my real Savior. I can't save myself. I can't do good enough. I can't overcome the sin I had in my life without him. I couldn't overcome the guilt of the sin in my life without him either, that he had to completely wash me free of. So once I came to that realization of who my Savior was, got that going, got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and started working on my salvation, that's when I understood what salvation was. And I'm still, even all these years, and I still have a good concept of it in faith and grace, I still have to go and be reminded. I still have to go back and study and understand these things and remind my heart, because your heart wants to deceive you and pull you back in to this dark world. But you got to be in the Word, which is abiding in Christ. That's what you do when you're in the Word. You're abiding in Jesus, and you're walking with him. He's talking with you. And even listening to Missy, I recently started picking up Mirth and Cluthers and Cruthers and started reading again and praising God more, because I realized, oh, you know, there's a whole different part of the ministry that we aren't really part of, that we kind of forget about, that we need in our life. Because that praise is not just because he's who he is, but it also helps us let go and trust him more for what he's going to do in our life. So when we come and enjoy this communion, we have to think about all the good things too the Lord's done for us. Not just, oh, am I worthy? Am I bad? Do I need this forgiveness? But no, he's how he's redeemed you and brought you to this place you are at right now. And how much more he's going to do for you. Like, we're not totally there yet. We're still coming into more and more Jesus all the time. And that's what we get to look forward to. So for me, that's my experience with the Lord. Just what how I wanted to say it.
Amen. Let's pray just a minute. In the name of Jesus right now, I command condemnation out of this group right now. In the name of Jesus, we command complete, clear, conscious, and we command any guilt to leave in the name of Jesus. You confess their sins, and they are completely sanctified by faith, and we believe it, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, that we are all, every one of us, purified by the blood of Jesus. We've confessed our sins, and now there is no condemnation in each and every one of us, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, go ahead, Theo.
To me, he's the merciful Savior. So many times in my life, I've, not deserving whatsoever, and been completely stopped physically from doing things that, you know, would have probably destroyed me. And it's happened multiple times, so many times in my life. And it's just, that's, I can't even explain. Well, you all know that we definitely didn't deserve it. And especially at the most undeserving times is when the Lord just shows his mercy and keeps us alive, keeps us going. And when we feel the most distant from him, even recently, I'd say, when things feel cold and you're not getting the answers, and I still know in the back of my head, he's the merciful Savior. He's going to come through. I just need to just wait on the Lord, and that's it. And I know that he will come through 100%. No doubt about it. My whole life's been a proof of this. So praise God. And Lana has something too.
The first thing the Lord put on my heart when Carol brought this up was that Jesus Christ is my hiding place. And then he put this song on my heart that I wanted to share as well, just a part of it. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord.
Praise to God.
Amen.
Amen. We got to get us a guitar player, a banjo player. We got the singers. Glory to God. That was good. Thank you, Lolly.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right. Nick, did you want to sing a song too? Go ahead, brother.
No, I didn't want to sing a song. I was just wanted to thank the Lord for saving my sin from being baptized. And that's what I was thankful for.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Thank you, Nick. That's awesome. Okay. Go ahead, Geneva.
I was just going to say that Jesus has always been my passion and my comfort. And there's no other comfort like Jesus. You know, you can hear all the words. You can talk to as many people you want until you're blue in the face. But really, nothing gives you comfort like his word and his presence and his spirit. And it's a comfort that surpasses all. And I'm thankful that I have a savior that can just take away all of my fears, all my anxieties, everything with just his presence and his spirit. And I just thankful that he's always been my passion, and he's always going to be my passion. And he's my family's passion in Jesus' name. And he's my husband's passion. And he's going to be this little baby's passion. And I'm just thankful.
Amen. Praise God. That's a good one. All right. Go ahead, Ray and June.
Go ahead, hon.
Okay. Jesus is my all in all, Abba Father, Savior, Deliverer. But if I had to say it in one word, I would say Lord, because it brings me back to the time I was in the Catholic Church. And I'm an adult, I'm married, I have two children out of the three that we have. And reciting a prayer as you always did in the church. And it struck me when I said, Jesus is Lord. I had been saying it for God knows how many years. And all of a sudden I was being touched and I was questioning, what in the world does that mean? And it struck me so funny when I look back at it, like, how could have I not known? But I really didn't. I really didn't. Not until I got into the word myself.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Barely, but go ahead.
All right. How about now?
Yeah, good. Now we can hear you good.
All right. So I was just reminded of something after Isaac had told his dream about being like in hell. Before I even came to the Lord, I had two dreams of being in like hell, like chained up to other people, like in a prison line. Like people chained together about to be transported somewhere else. And I remember in at least one of the dreams, I was like, I think both dreams, I was probably like scoping the place out, looking for some kind of way out. And in one of the dreams, I somehow made my way up to an upper part, but I was still like in hell. But, you know, whenever I first came to the Lord, he really delivered me out of hell, because the demons that I had were just so heavy on me, and it was for so long that I kind of got used to the weight of it. But when I finally got free, I realized just how heavy it was and how free I really became. You know, the Lord just really delivered me from all sorts of things. Like, he gave me strength and self-control and power over things like anxiety and fears and things like that. Though I've had certain temptations, you know, the Lord to me is my strength. You know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I know that him, you know, delivering me was so powerful, and, you know, just has me in this place. And even in times where, you know, he had to rebuke me or, you know, get me to not be distracted, I never, ever want to go back to my old life, my old sins or any of that. Like him delivering me causes me, you know, looking back and looking forward, I want to keep going forward and not backwards ever at all. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord indeed. All right, Winnie, go ahead.
Hey.
Hey.
I just wanted to say that I'm sometimes in such awe of God's sovereignty, because I didn't know that, you know, you guys were doing the communion, and like a couple days ago, the Lord gave me a couple of dreams of things in my life, like hypocrisy that I needed to confess. And then he gave me some words today to confirm that. And then some other things came up, you know, that I also, you know, confessed. And again, I didn't even know, because I didn't get the email. So I didn't even know. And it's like God's sovereignty. And then David had a moment to call me to pray. So it's like God is so good that he knows that we were going to take communion, and he wants to make sure that we're clean. I mean, you know, the things that he showed us, he wants to make sure that it's like we don't have anything in our hearts that, you know, would. Like, you know, the chapter talks about, or any unforgiveness or any criticism towards others and stuff like that. So God is like really cool for doing that.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's one of the things that we've been busy today. That's right. You are forgiven. Praise God. Go ahead, Julie. Thank you, Manny.
Amen. Lord, I just think I agree with what everyone is saying. He so individually reveals himself to us, and he's been everything to me. He's been my savior, my redeemer, my healer, my friend. He's my father. You know, he's so much. But lately, he's really been teaching me. He's been my teacher, my master, my Lord. And you go through stuff, and you just, you know, sometimes you go through trials, you just want to get through the trial, you know, because you just want to get through the trial, right? But, you know, you got to learn what the Lord is wanting to teach you through the trial, you know, and teaching us how to be long-suffering, to be patient in the trial, to be gentle, to be long-suffering with others, to be forgiving, and to be just all the things that Christ is. You know, he just wants us to learn, and it's a process. Even though you get it up here in your mind, you understand it and everything, but going through long-suffering trials or persecutions and the things that are uncomfortable to your flesh, that is where he really becomes your teacher and your master and your Lord. And it's like, if you call me Lord, but you don't do the things I tell you, then it's like, you know, he's not your Lord. And it's just really learning to be, I've really just learned to come more into submission to, okay, Lord, you say this, and I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to do this with your strength and with your grace, and teaching me to stand. Having done all, you stand. And it doesn't matter what it feels like, looks like. It doesn't matter the oppression around you. It doesn't matter whatever it is you're going through. It's like, no, I believe, I confess it, and I stand. And the Lord's doing something. There's things happening in the spirit realm. Only, you know, only what's seen in the spirit knows. But he's faithful. He's going to be faithful. He's never going to change. So I've really been learning just to rest in that he's my Lord, my master, he's my teacher. He's not going to fail me or any of us. Amen.
Amen. That's exactly right. Thank you, Julie. Amen.
And I've got one more thing. You know, I was, and I look up, you know, and the Holy Spirit said, and I, you know, yes, William, that's fine, but come inside to you. I mean, and man, I just spent the day turning inward because the Spirit, he lives in us. That's part of stuff.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. He's a forgiving, loving God, isn't he? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Pat, go ahead.
When I, so this is an aspect of the Lord that I have
that he has continued to grow in me. And it started when he started me. And that was the very first time as a young college student. And I was going through struggles, and of course my background is I did not have any religious background, and so I didn't know the Lord. Obviously, I didn't know there was a God, and I lived my life like that. And when I was in college, I was going through some very trying times in my life. I was like every other college student. Well, I won't say every other college student. I shouldn't say that. I was into drugs. I was into sex. I was into rock and roll. I was into doing my own thing. And one of the concepts that I was living on, just kind of a mental rule, that if that all experiences are good, whether they're good or you think they're good or they're bad, they're always good because they help you to grow. Well, it started to dawn on me that not all experiences that you can have are good. There's some that you probably would be better off avoiding if possible. And this was kind of rattling my framework of thinking. But I got into a very trying time when I was in college, and I felt very trapped. I had a relationship that was going south on me, and I was this woman was trying to, you know, wanted me to be her, get married, and this whole sort of thing. It was a lot of pressure on my life at the time, and I wasn't into that. And I went out one night into the desert, and I was sitting on the side of the road out in the middle of the desert in Phoenix, Arizona, and I lifted my eyes up to the sky, and it was a clear sky, and you could see every star in existence. And it was at that time that I said, God, if there's really a God out there, I want to know it. And of course, I've told the story before, but I didn't see anything, nothing happened. But yet, something did happen. There was a transaction that happened in the heavenlies. For whatever reason, that was deemed a something of faith by God. And he took that little seed and he planted it in me, and he started changing my desires. And that grew and things started changing. And though I didn't realize it at the time, I quit doing drugs probably a year later. I started feeling very uncomfortable with doing drugs, and I quit doing that. It's all drugs. I'm saying all, heavy drugs, I would say. I started searching and got in, and unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever you want to say, I drifted into the looking at the Eastern mysticism type of realm or whatever. And I, I to to all Christians, you would think I was going in the wrong direction, because I was going in the wrong direction. But I was following a desire that God put in my heart. And so I don't want to get wound out with a long story as I usually do, but God led me step by step by step, putting one desire after the other in my heart until about 6 or 7 years later in Houston, he developed that desire into a craving, into a massive craving, where I started reading the Bible. An old girlfriend gave me a Bible, and I started reading that and reading it every night until I would go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And the intensity that God's grace was pouring into my heart at that time, that was when I, having read those words so many times before and stopped it on a John 14:8, I believe, where he said, where Jesus told one of his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that was the nail in the coffin, so to speak. That hit me like a ton of bricks. And when I piled out of bed and prayed and asked God ask the Lord to take me to the Father, that was all it was. And that was the sealing of the deal. And God changed my whole heart, my whole spirit. My guilt was completely gone. It was a peace that came over me in such a way that I thought I had done something wrong, because there was no more craving, no more driving force coming within me to make that, to find and seek. It's like I found the Lord. So as a result of that, I want to thank the Lord for saving me, bringing me and translating me out of the kingdom of darkness into his light, but apart from the established church religious system. Because there was such a benefit to that that I never realized until I've been trying, you know, until when you're trying to talk with people and they don't catch it, they don't understand it. There's a massive, overwhelming kingdom of darkness that's a web out there that just binds people's minds. And I just praise the Lord that he brought me out of that and out of that process by his word. And so I just wanted to share that. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. That was unique. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
You don't have to see me. No,
we
don't have to see me.
You're unmuted. Go ahead.
Right. Sue. I'll sing a song. It's a song I had when I was first starting to live for the Lord. And it kind of reminds me of a kid's song, but it's more than that. And I've had other songs since then that have more meaning. But this one just came to me. It's Jesus is my friend, Jesus is my Lord, I will follow him for now and evermore. Jesus is my friend, Jesus is my Lord, I'll obey his word for now and evermore, for now and evermore. He's a rock on which I stand. He's my Lord, the great I am. He lifts me up when I am down. That is why I sing you this song, 'cause Jesus is my friend. Jesus is my Lord. I'll obey his word for now and evermore, for now and evermore, for now and evermore. And this song relates to when I was starting to build a relationship with the Lord. It's truly about relationship. And I wasn't in any kind of trouble. I had a boyfriend that I really, really loved. And we talked about marriage and all this stuff. But I was living with him. And I started having a relationship. He started being my friend and I was his friend. And it got to where it was more than just a friend. It was like a best friend. And I got to the realization with that I can't be doing this. This is hurting my best friend. He's my best friend. And the way I'm living is hurting him. I don't want to do this anymore. So I gave up the boyfriend and said, Lord, I just want to follow you. And he just blessed me about 6 months after I gave up the boyfriend and lived. He lived somewhere else. I lived by myself. The Lord just put his love in my heart. He just, you know, I was praying for some healing on my throat because I wanted to sing to the Lord and I couldn't sing very well. So I went up to the altar and the pastor laid his hands on me. And next thing I know, I'm feeling this intense love from the Lord and it just blessed me so much. I didn't want to let it go. It was awesome. And I won't forget that because that was awesome. But it started with me just being a friend to him. And he still is that way. He wants us to be friends with him. I mean, how much we can share with him, even if it's not good, he'll still love us and he'll still, you know, his word says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you know, I battled with rejection many years, but he's my friend. He's more than he's my friend, my lover, my he's everything. He's everything to me. So Amen.
Okay, wonderful testimony. Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? Matt Ezell, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams.
Amen.
Yeah, where are you from, brother?
Yeah. From Virginia. I don't know if you remember, me and my wife were there, I think in September, at the Pop Blessing. We came with Caleb and his wife, Winnie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, Matt. Yeah. Now I remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, praise God. Good to have you, brother.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be here.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, it was just I mean, so many great testimonies here, and I feel like I could apply them all, but the one that sticks out for me is he's my wisdom. I just feel like as I went through life, I grew up as a Hindu and went to the temple all the time and got into college, and I didn't really feel like that was the right thing for some reason, and just went through life not really knowing the truth about anything, just kind of listening and trying to understand and not understanding anything. And then and when I turned 40 and the Lord just changed my heart and he just was just like one thing after another just made so much sense. It just started falling into place. And that was just in a regular church, in a Baptist church. And I was just being delivered out of all that other junk before you even come into the church. So just getting that far and then coming into UBM, just opening up a whole nother world to me and just giving me understanding. I feel like I know what's going on around me. I know what's going on in the world. I know the history. I know where it came from, what it's about. And it's just awesome that you can know all that and go through life knowing that. So I praise the Lord for the wisdom that he gives us and the knowledge through his word, and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Benita. That was good. All right, Gano. You're up, girl.
Okay. I would say he is my refuge and my strength. And most recently, my comforter, my peace and my joy. And he's the one that fills my heart to overflowing. And I'm so thankful that he is in the midst of me. And he helps me to be what he wants me to be. And his power is made perfect in my weakness. So it's okay if I'm weak because he is strong. And I am so thankful for that. And he's just my all in all. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Are y'all ready to partake? Okay, let's pray first. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that everyone that's listening out there, here and out there that's going to be listening tomorrow, that if they decide to have communion, that they would be clean, that they would want to be clean. They want to be cleansed and accept your cleansing power upon them right now by faith in the blood and the body of Christ. And Father, we ask that you give them wisdom and grant grace to the brethren out there and the wisdom to the rest so they can receive this great, wonderful, good news that you have for us, Father. And I thank you for it. And I ask, Father, that you bless everybody here tonight. If they need it, is healing, deliverance, and the things that we are believing for, Father. I know that you utilize the communion a lot of times to heal people. If they have faith, you do it every time. And Father, we thank you that tonight's not going to be any different. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're going to do in us tonight, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us. Lord, let us be worthy of the blood that you shed for us. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, in 1 Corinthians 11:24, it says this, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And said this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me, so we can partake of the bread. Praise your holy name, Lord. We have been remembering you tonight, Lord, the things that you've done in us and for us, in our lives, in all the circumstances, Father. Praise you for it, Father. And then he said in 25, in like manner, also the cup after supper, say, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And we drink it. Partake of the cup. to God. Glory be to God. I thank you, Father, for your healings and your deliverances because of your blood, Lord. Because of your blood. And I praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for healing my brothers and sisters out there. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise be to God forevermore. Ooh, my. And for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Oh, praise you, Father. Glory be to God. I'll tell you what, I believe God's doing a miracle out there. I do. I feel it. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for delivering everybody that needs it and healing everybody that needs it, that has the faith to believe you, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power throughout this whole fellowship. In the name of Jesus, praise you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the deliverances right now from any kind of anxiety, fear, guilt, condemnation, anything like that. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Father, for your blood, because your blood washes us clean. And we thank you, Father, for the faith that you've given us already to believe that we can trust you to fulfill the promises you've already given us, Father. Thank you for your blood, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I believe and I thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' mighty name. Whew, my. Yes, indeed. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Praise be to God forevermore. We thank you, Lord, for cleansing your body right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. My. Whew.
Can I sing a song?
Oh, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
This is another song that the Lord gave me. And since we just took communion, I think it's appropriate. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Glory, glory, hallelujah, worthy of all praise. Glory, glory, hallelujah, he shed his blood for us. Glory and honor and praises, he took away our sins. Glory, glory, hallelujah, praises to our King. Glory, glory, hallelujah, he is our everything. Glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus is his name. Glory and honor and praises, the name above all names. We give praises to our King. You're the King of kings and Lord of lords. We give praises to our King. Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen, 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 and amen. Yes, Julie. Oh, you're praising God. Okay. See. Amen. Oh, my. My.
Where are Rianne and Claire tonight?
Huh?
Rianne and Claire aren't with us tonight. They're always here.
Yeah, well, he works, and I think Thursday nights is generally when they come in, because that's their Friday, and I don't think he's got a little bit better chance to come on. I don't want to sound like one of those TV evangelists, you know, where they just spout out something. But God wants to do something for somebody here that's had a problem for the last week. And he says that has already taken care of whatever it is. And that's all I'm hearing right now. He's already taken care of. So if you're dealing with something, may not be, I don't know. I'm just telling you what the Lord's telling me is that it has been taken care of. So quit your worry, quit your anxiety, quit your fear. Because the Lord has already taken care of it. Your prayers are answered. Amen. And that's some more, but I'm going to quit for a minute.
And just tack on to that. I'll just tack on to that a little bit, Michael. I was praying about something that was really troubling me, about somebody I know and care about. And I was just thinking about it, and I was praying about it, and just, you know, kept lifting it up to him. And I was praying the Spirit, and I just heard the Lord say, I've heard you. I've heard everything you've said. In other words, don't worry about it. It's taken care of. Just rest. You know, he hears us. So it's just a reminder. It's like, even though we don't get the reaction or we're still feeling something, you know, you just like, no, that's what God says. You know, it's like, you know, to be anxious for nothing, but with everything, you know, make your request and your prayers made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. But, you know, he just wanted me, just reminded me. It's like, I heard you. Don't worry about it. It's taken care of. So he's heard everything. He's heard he knows our heart. He's heard every thought even before we had it, you know? So it's our part to come into that rest. And that's the battle.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Debbie.
It's kind of like him being the father to us. So this has been a singing night. So can I sing the rest of my song I shared earlier? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's scripture. I don't know exactly. One of the Peter somewhere, I think. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. He's tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he understands how weak we are. He knows we are only dust. Our days on earth are numbered like the grass. Then we are gone, as though we'd never been here. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. The Lord is like a father to his children. He's tender and compassionate to those who fear him. He's tender and compassionate to those who fear him. He's tender and compassionate to those who fear him.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie. That was good. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. I'd sing a song, y'all go home if I did.
Sing your yippity doodah, you always sing.
Yeah.
We all are home right now, so why not?
Oh, there you go, Nick. Well, you'd have to be my backup, buddy.
I guess that means you better sing a song. You just got called on that.
Oh, man, I don't even know one, really. All I know, like he said, zippity-doo-dah, or she said. God's going to get my praise. God's going to get my praise. Devil, get out of my way, because God's going to get my praise. All right. Praise the Lord. We got to put that in our repertoire, Debbie.
Yeah, I miss hearing that song. That's a good one.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
Can I just ask Vanita how your husband's doing?
Yeah, thanks for asking. He still has a little bit of a fever and he's not eating much right now. So, you know, he's in good spirits and I've been casting and praying for him, casting everything out I can. And Nick and I have been praying for him. So I think that's part of Michael's answer to prayer is that one right there is he is going to just be jumping up out of bed and ready to get back to work here pretty soon. So,
amen. Amen. All right, Lord. Go ahead, Lana.
Hey, I just wanted to mention a praise report that just brings a lot of joy to me because of what we went through 2 months ago. But little Gabe is 2 months today. He's strong, he's healthy. We're also claiming some deliverance for him. He's been very, very fussy in the evenings, especially. And we're just praising the Lord that he's delivered of this. I've been lifting him up to the Lord and just asking him to deliver whatever is causing that. I've tried everything that the arm of the flesh can, from, you know, trying to deliver him of caffeine and whatever else I could think of. And now I've just left it to the Lord and I'm praising him for the deliverance and celebrating that my little boy is 2 months old and we're looking forward to a whole lot more with him. So thank you, Father, for that.
All right. Let's pray for little Gabe. In the name of Jesus right now, Lord, we lift up little Gabriel to you. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful child that you've given the family here. And we thank you, Lord, that you got your hand on Gabriel. And in the name of Jesus right now, we command him any of this fussiness out of him. In Jesus' irritation, whatever it is, you go from him. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Gabriel's going to sleep the times he's supposed to sleep, get up and eat, go back and sleep again at night in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother.
Thank you. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a done deal.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
As Michael was praying, I was just kept hearing the word restlessness. just restlessness. So we command that spirit of restlessness to go from Gabe right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for giving him just contentment and peace and joy and happiness, and that all that's gone. All that other stuff is gone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, anyone else? Hey, boy. Hey, Phil. Is that Phil? Is that Phil? Ah.
Phil.
Hey, buddy.
That's Max.
Hey, buddy.
That's Max. I'm Phil. Oh.
I see you.
I see you.
Max, let me feel.
I see Michael, you.
I don't know if I've shared before.
Is that Max in the front?
Yeah. Are we doing five?
No.
Feel five. I'm not. I'm four.
You're four?
Yeah, I'm one, two, three. Yeah, four.
We don't speak English to the boys. And there was a time when Theo looked at me and he said, "Mom, I need to learn to speak like Michael," because he started to understand that his Russian, he knew he couldn't speak Russian to you, but he knew his gibberish was not enough, and he understood that he didn't know English. And boy, they've been working hard to pick up whatever English they can. We don't speak to them in English because we figured they'll do it by themselves, and we want to, you know, preserve the second language. But here they are. They're picking it up left and right. And,
they're understanding
something more than they can speak. But you were a motivating factor.
You boys learn that Arkansas language. That's what you need to do. That's awesome. Amen. That's good. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for Matt and Phil. All right. Go ahead, Winnie. You know something I found out, Lana, is this. When you teach a child a second language from the ages of 2 to 5, they are quick thinkers. They are smarter, quick-witted. They turn out that way. I don't know why, but you know, I missed out on that one. Go ahead, Winnie. Hey, buddy.
Okay. I just wanted to say a scripture that came after everything. I don't remember what it was that made it. But maybe the Lord just dropped it in me. But everything we were talking about, I thought of. I'll read it real quick. I thought of Philippians 3:9-14, and it says, "And be found in him, having not a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." And this is the, no, not this part. "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Now this is the specific verse that came to me. "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." We're supposed to forget, you know, anything behind us where we confess it. I mean, it's already done. We don't think about it anymore. We forget everything. We forget the past. We don't hold no records of wrongs or anything. We thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Winnie. Awesome, awesome passage. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
Well, I don't want to say anything other than June and Ray, I thought we're going to share with this something.
Who?
June and Ray.
Oh. All right, y'all fess up.
Oh, my. Okay. Missy, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't even be sharing it because I had this deal with the Lord that I wanted to make sure I had it right to share if I was supposed to do this. Ray and I were in agreement as long as somebody would mention that they wanted to hear. Thank you, Missy. For those of you who have seen us before, we had mentioned our son and the ordeal he's been going through. So several months ago, our son told us that he had been molested when he was under 6 years of age by a neighbor who was a child himself. I believe our son said he was 11. So our son had kept it within himself all these years. And he shared it with his wife while, I believe he said it was a dating time. But what happened from that point on in his life, situations occurred where he got to a point where he didn't have a trustability for most people that he would come across. And actually, at some point, it included his wife. So our son is going to be 34 this January. And by the way, because certain things are coming in my mind as I'm speaking, I had mentioned that he had a weight problem growing up. Apparently, this was his way of dealing with what he wasn't about to share with anybody at that time. Our son now, because of how he has to be careful as to what he's around, environmental wise and food intake, he's slim now. I mean, he's a completely different person than when he was a child, even in a physical way, I'm saying. Apparently the marriage, they're separated now. They have two children. Our granddaughter is only 9 months and our grandson is 4 and a half, and they're precious. So our son has gone through therapy. It was Christian therapy, and also his wife and he are undergoing marriage counseling. And the objective is the whole thought is them coming together as a family again. But, and Ray and I know the Lord has this.
It's a done deal.
It's a done deal, but our son, what the beauty of it is, he was the easiest of our three children growing up. We have two daughters and our son was the youngest. But the thing that never sat right with me is he was very quiet with me. He didn't express himself much. And that was always very disappointing to me. And now I understand it was something going on within him and something he was trying to shove down. And he actually didn't realize what he was doing to the extent he did until it was full blown, where he realized he had this trusting issue. And now he talks to us, I mean, whatever's on his mind, he's so different. it's beautiful the way he expresses himself. He's a different person in that mannerism too, because he's very good in clarity, you know, and just getting right to the point. And I mean, whatever's on his mind, it's like we're hearing about it. After all these years, we missed out. But
part of the hardship right now is the fact that his in-laws are a bit of a hindrance.
Oh, yeah.
And he has to work that out in order for things to work out all around in the other side of the family.
Yeah.
So that's what he's going through right now.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, it is like, yeah, it's been really hard on our son because I think his wife, our daughter-in-law, who we love, would be in the same household at this point if it wasn't for her parents. She's actually living with her parents now with the children. And and this has been going on since the separation took place in August. And so we have to be patient. And I wasn't even thinking of asking for prayer, but the thought is when it comes to his wife, that she would be bold enough, because she wants everything to be like we'd all want it to be, that the relationships all around will be good. And that is the reason why she's not with her son right now, because she knows her parents, they say that they want them to be together, but it's not the time yet. It's all the time factor. And so we don't know how much time they're thinking, but we know the Lord has it.
But the Lord has been strengthening everyone involved with this.
Yeah.
Including us.
Yeah. And, you know, with our grandson, being that he's 4 and a half, he loves his mommy and daddy. And he's been very confused. He doesn't know exactly why things are the way they are, of course. And, you know, he just loves being with his father. He loves being with his mother. But he is really joyful when he has both mommy and daddy with him at the same time.
Okay, let's pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Ray and June's son and his wife. Lord, I know you can do miracles. I know you can do miracles. You can flip a switch, Lord, in their lives and have them back together tomorrow. I know you can do that. I've seen you do it. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to deliver this young man. I command the demons that have been oppressing him to go from him right now in the name of Jesus. I command everything that has hindered him from walking with you to go from him right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for your finger of love just reaching down and touching him right now in Jesus' name and cleansing him from all the enemy in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you. We're looking for the wonderful testimony of what you've done for him in Jesus' name. You are the counselor. You're the wonderful counselor. And I believe you, Lord, that you have already done this for him. In Jesus' name. And if there's anything in his wife, Lord, I ask that you just bring them both together with the love of Christ in your heart for this family in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm looking for the miracle. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let your blood cover this family, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. All right, Dave, go ahead.
This is going to sound very odd, but it has a very practical and it will work method, but it's something most of us aren't accustomed to. And I would suggest that you get these two books too, that would help you understand that. And it really is a very don't know if you've read these before, Merlin Crothers. He's got a book. One, it's called From Prison to Praise. He's got another one, Bringing Heaven into Hell. And his ministry and his successful ministry in people's lives was based on praising the Lord for all those things that we have gone through and are going through, not looking always just, Lord, take care of this and get some. It's, we have to first come to the realization, the truth is God is sovereign in our lives. And there's nothing that didn't happen in our life that he didn't know about or have control on. And that being said, all the bad that happens in our life, God allowed, just like he did with Job. And the trial is coming to those terms and realizing, you know, Lord, you're sovereign and you're true. And everything you do for me in my life, a bad or good, is by your will and design. And if I praise you for all the things you're doing for me, he's going to turn these things around like Merlin Crothers had, from prison to praise for his life and others. And for all the terrible things that people experience, horrible things, by coming to terms with how to praise the Lord for all these bad things in our life and thanking him instead of saying how bad this could be, but say, Lord, thank you for this and for what you're doing in my life and for others, and letting him be God at that point. And put, that's where you die to self and you start trusting him for these things that are coming in your life. And why, when you put yourself in that position of trust and praise and just trust the Lord and thanking him and letting him work this out in his will and his way, then things happen. Miracles happen at that point, because he's able to walk in and do what he planned on doing anyways, because you just gave him the glory for all that. And he's going to turn things around. Very good books. Very good books. Hard to, I wish I would have had these when I was growing up. I could, you know, instead of my whole life of looking how bad things are and just getting angry and upset and just doing things wrong, I could have handled this right the first time by just praising the Lord, getting on my knees and thanking him and realizing that I have a loving father that really does care, and he's allowing these things to happen. And I all I gotta do is just trust him and praise him for it, and miracles happen. Then miracles happen.
You have to put that thing up.
Dave, Prison to Praise was one. What was the other book?
Bringing Heaven into Hell.
Wow.
Heaven into Hell.
Thank you.
Merlin Crothers. You can get them on Kindle books if you want, off Amazon. And or else you can buy the hard copies too. Awesome books. Your son would be benefit to read them. I know it would help them. It would help them through all those things he's experienced. It helps you to forgive others. It shows you forgiveness. It brings you into the point of forgiveness too for others. Because there can be a lot of these things that happen in our lives, and we have a tendency to hold on to them in a bitterness and then not let go. And this was helps that all that change your whole life, and you're not bound in that prison anymore. And inside, it sets you free, and then he can do miracle things, do miraculous things in our life that way. I wish I would have known that when I was growing up. I wish I would have had this when I was growing up, and I had this in my life. But go ahead, Miss.
Thank you, Dave.
It also really helps you. I'm reading Bringing Heaven into Hell right now, and it really helps you recognize criticism, you know, whether it be with your words or your thoughts, because if it's in your thoughts, you know, and you don't cast it down, it's eventually going to come out of your mouth. I was reading it a good bit before I came on, and it just filled me with joy reading it. Just such awesome testimonies. I mean, miraculous things that the Lord does through our praises and thanking him for everything, you know, no matter what it is, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, he's got a lot of great testimonies, like she's saying. This guy's the real deal. He went through it himself. Vietnam era veteran chaplain and Vietnam era vet. Seen a lot of things, helped a lot of stressed families out. And along the process, everything you're talking about, all these things he dealt with, the divorce issues and broken families and just, you know, seeing things turn right around when they all got together and prayed and thanked the Lord and just wonderful testimonies. So I guarantee you, this is a powerful book, powerful stuff.
Amen. Well, we've run out of time. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for all of the prayers that have been sent up to you or answered. And we're going to hear a lot of praise reports. We praise you, Father, for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for leading and guiding us. All the wonderful testimonies about coming to you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for all the healings and deliverances that have taken place tonight. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Good night, everybody. Glory to God.